Loving Lord God, we thank you for all that you put on Jane's heart to share with us this morning. Help her, Lord, to be sensitive to what you're saying now and to share that with us. Give her your peace and confidence as she speaks. And through her, I pray, bless each one of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right. I wonder, are we all the same? Diana has definitely experienced my weaknesses this weekend with panic phone calls and please can you just calm me down about something. She's very much learnt that one of my skills is nothing to do with a house. But what do you like doing to relax? Do you pick up a book? Maybe pick up a set of drums? I don't know. Are you allowed to have one at home? No, I couldn't quite visualise where it was if they did. That was, you know, the point there. Maybe it's the garden. It's one that wasn't, it probably was on my list. I know some of you do. Sometimes I can't find Diane and Irene when I ring them and their husbands will say, they're in the garden. Perhaps you read a book. Go for a walk. Something else. Or let's cast our mind back to our school days. Some of us might have further to go back than others. When you got your report from school, did everyone say, what, excuse me, Nick, I didn't ask permission for this, I'm guessing Nick's report said, excellent at maths? Perhaps not. I got GCSE maths. I don't think I could have gone much further. Or excellent at sport. I was at a school where they didn't actually reward you for academic excellence. They thought that was wrong, but they still managed to give out cups of sport. And I would always sit and watch everybody getting sport. I tried hard at academic stuff. Give me a hockey bat. In those days, I'd throw it up and down the field in frustration. I didn't know I was asthmatic. So we are different, aren't we? We're not all the same. And I've got some news for you. Who made us different? I think you'll find God did. And the fact that God made us different means that we do not need to come to God in prayer in the XYZ method that is right for everybody. No, he expects us to approach him in prayer in different ways. He knows our differences. He created us. Jesus taught us that we can call God our Father. Our Father calls us to pray to him. Prayer is like a conversation. There are times when we speak to God and others when we need to listen. How we do this differs. There isn't one set way. God will help us to come to him in prayer in a way that helps, not hinders. Perhaps you're saying, but isn't the Lord's Prayer a pattern for prayer? Think about it. The disciples went to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They were used to anybody who followed the Jewish rabbis, which are equivalent of our church leaders, teaching those who followed each other a set way of praying. Jesus helped them to think about how they should approach God. Our Father. That wasn't unique to the Jews. In the time of the Exodus, Moses and Aaron were told to go and see Pharaoh, and he told them to tell them that Israel was God's loved son. And how much does he love us? By sending Jesus to die for us and rise again from sin. Hallowed be your name. Bit of an ancient word, perhaps. It's giving praise to God. And it's not until we've praised God that we get to give us our daily bread. And in all of this, we're also asked to come to God for forgiveness. And if we get asked for forgiveness, then we need to forgive others. But isn't the Lord's Prayer a pattern for everyone, maybe you're saying? But no, it's not. A question that is sometimes asked is why we should ask God to not lead us into temptation. It has been said that Jesus is teaching the disciples to ask God that they would be spared from such trials that God could cause them to lose their faith. Taking a look at our reading from Philippians, Paul speaks of us all sharing in God's grace and says he prays for the Philippians that they may discern what is best, so that they may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. When asking God not to lead us into temptation, we could also word it as Paul does, that we can discern what is right. I'm in no way belittling the Lord's Prayer, and it's great that we pray it every Sunday. And there is actually a pattern of some people praying the Lord's Prayer every day at noon, because it helps us to think what to say. So having seen that Jesus gave the disciples a way to pray, having noted that we are all different, and prayer is like a conversation, then there are times when we speak to God and times when we need to listen. In the same way, if we're having a conversation with somebody, it's only really a conversation if we're both talking to one another. As prayer is a conversation, then the language you need to use is our own. If you're used to short sentences, then that's what God seeks to hear. He isn't looking for long, eloquent sentences. Remember, he's made us as we are. So, how can we enter into this time of prayer with God? Lise Babbs, in her book On Celtic Prayer, reflects that there are many ways of taking time out. To become still, silence, music, visual liturgy, set words, reading the Bible, sitting in the garden or going for a walk. Your spiritual journey is precious and unique, so there is no right or one way to be with God. I would add to this that you can enter into a time with God by drawing and painting. We'll learn more about this later. What you need to decide is what, as your own unique person, you find will help you best to enter into a time of prayer. The two-way conversation with God, a time to speak and a time to listen. Over the years, Christians have found different ways to pray, different ways to find the space to pray. Suzanne Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, had a full house of 10 children, 9 others having died at birth. The children be running around, but Susan wanted to find a space to pray. The children grew up knowing that when Susan had her apron over her head, then she was praying and not to be disturbed. Then there was Brother Lawrence. He entered the monastery as a lay brother, working in the kitchens, cooking and cleaning and repairing sandals. He saw all these jobs as a way of seeing God's love. And in response, whenever he had space, he would pray. Brother Lawrence says, "We can do little things for God. I turn the cake that is frying on the pan for love of him. And that done, if there is nothing else to call me, I prostrate myself in worship before him. So, Nicola, when you're cooking the children's dinner tomorrow or tonight, lie on the floor and see what on earth your children say to you." I would imagine if in those days there had been cars, he would have been prayed as he journeyed. Having said that, being in Reading traffic jams for 6 months, I haven't discovered yet a way of doing it, because I can well assure you Reading traffic jams and any of our other traffic jams requires a huge amount of concentration. I even thought putting on a CD and then realised I really did need to concentrate. So Radio Bartsch in the background meant I could turn off more than I might do with a song CD. But maybe you're the passenger, or maybe you've learned how to do it and you can tell me. So we can learn a lot from how people in the past have prayed. And I hope in the future to be able to explore some of these with you. One way that has been taught to help us to consider what to include in our prayers is known as the five-finger prayer. Now, if you put your hands together and keep your eyes open, and this is, some people might think, hang on, isn't this a children's way of praying? But I was sharing it with the Sumners earlier, and they've really found it interesting and helpful. So, I'm going to have to read this carefully. So, you get your thumb, and the thumb is nearest, so we pray for those closest to you, family and friends. The next finger is the index, so we pray for leaders and teachers who guide us. The following finger, the tallest, reminds us to pray for government and authority. The fourth finger, which if you try and hold it up by yourself, you would discover, because I am doing it in a moment, is our weakest finger. So it reminds us to pray for the weak or the sick. And then we get our little finger. It is there to remind us to pray for who, do you think? Ourselves. Whilst having first given God praise. So, it is a useful way of trying to remember it. I keep thinking it's useful, never remember to put it in practice. But it isn't just a children's prayer, is it? It's a good, useful tool for adults as well. And the picture I found was more of an adult picture. You may not be able to totally see the words. Sorry if you're sitting at the back. Hopefully the next one will be more helpful. You may find pictures helpful to aid praying. Or going into the countryside. Have a look at the picture before you. Can you imagine how that might lead you in prayer? Could you imagine the stillness, the quiet around you? Maybe it reminded you of Psalm 23, where David speaks of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. There are a number of psalms that can help you to pray. Some of them are written for times of worship. Also, through the psalms, we can learn that it's all right to bring to God our anger and our hurt. If you enjoy art, you might also find art can help you come into the presence of God. And you don't need to be incredibly talented to use art. You could always use some of the books which are now available that use art and scripture. The idea is the words are there and you colour in. Something you might want to consider. But on the other hand, maybe you are incredibly talented at art. Margaret.
On creative prayer, I have to admit, my first port of call was, Lord, what is creative prayer and how does it look? And I believe the answer is in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And it's that word, imagine. And I know you're all very familiar with how you can use imagination in the presentation of intercessions. And maybe some of you have imagined a situation that needs prayer and have seen Jesus in it. But have you ever thought about praying through objects? And I'd like to share an example from a prayer ministry team meeting a few years ago. Traditionally, as a group, we always prayer walk around the church. And we pray for the groups and the people who come in. So therefore we pray for the office and the vestibule and the kitchen, preschool room, lounge back and front of church. But on this one occasion, somebody had the idea of praying in the cloakrooms. Now, I think you'd probably agree with me, it's not perhaps the most interesting of places. It's not the brightest, it's not the lightest. It's home of the Henrys and the mop and the buckets and the cloakrooms themselves. And as we stood in there, again, speaking to the Lord, it was, how do we pray? What do we pray in this place? And he said, look around. Yes, Lord, there's the Hoovers and the mop and the bucket, the bucket and the mop. What else is there? What is straight ahead of you? And as I looked, there was the electricity consumer unit, the powerhouse of the church. And God said, I am the powerhouse, the centre and the heart of this church. Now, you will be familiar with the fact that consumer units have wires going out from them, wires that carry power, wires that carry power for lighting. And they go to the office, to the vestibule, to the kitchen, to the preschool room, to the lounge, back and front of church. And he said, now imagine that my Holy Spirit is moving along all those wires. And as he does so, he brings power and light to every part of this church. There is nowhere that you can go in this place where God's Holy Spirit isn't. Then he said, think about all those people who come into this place, people who come regularly for groups, visitors, for whatever reason. Visualize all of them in here, in my light and my power. I'm just going to give you half a minute to just try and visualize that. Now, you may like to try and see what the Lord would say to you through the Hoover or the mop and the bucket and the running water. I know my prayer on that day was rather long and rather awkward, so I'd like actually today just to simplify it and leave you with this. Thank you, Father, for being the heart of your church. Thank you, Jesus, for being the light and love in this place. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, please bless all who come into this building today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
So we've been looking at prayer as our conversation with God. There are times when we can encourage one another in prayer by coming together. You might like to consider the group who pray for our services. I would invite you to consider trying our monthly prayer event, Lift. Listen in fourth Tuesday. We have seen prayer as a conversation. And there will be times when you journey with friends in a conversation. So why not join them in prayer? The event isn't for those who specialise in prayer. It is for all of us. And I have asked people who come to Lift why they choose to come. And I'm going to show one or two comments and leave you just time to pause and think about them. So why come to Lift? It is a rare opportunity to come together with other church members to pray for important things that are happening in the world and our community. This is what God calls us to do, to pray together for his will to be done in our world. Lift helps us in right responses to what is going on around us. It is a great mix of listening, praise, praying for issues, and sharing encouragement with one another, encouraging and powerful. Don't miss out. which is part of the last sentence. It's not my words. Somebody who goes saying, don't miss out. So come and try it. If not in July, try it in the autumn. Just come and find out what it's about. There's only one way of knowing if it's right for you, and that is by coming and experiencing it for you. So I've got two challenges for you today. One is to find, if you haven't already, your best way of entering prayer with God, plus an invite to come to a Lift event, and see how by joining with others in prayer is an opportunity for encouragement in our prayer life. I believe that the six of us who gathered together on Friday hopefully felt encouraged, as well as bringing our concerns to God. Remember, Lift is on the fourth Tuesday of the month. Now follows a short period of reflection on prayer, for which I asked Mike to come and read a poem for us. A poem on prayer, written from the heart by Helen Steiner Rice. Anywhere is a place of prayer if God is there.
It may help you, as I read these words, to let the words take you where God wants you to be and to close your eyes. I have prayed on my knees in the morning. I have prayed as I walked along. I have prayed in the silence and darkness, and I've prayed to the tune of a song. I have prayed in the midst of a triumph, and I've prayed when I suffered defeat. I have prayed on the sands of the seashore where the waves of the ocean beat. I have prayed in a velvet hushed forest where the quietness calmed my fears. I have prayed through suffering and heartache when my eyes were blinded with tears. I have prayed in churches and chapels, cathedrals and synagogues too. But often I had the feeling that my prayers were not getting through. And I realized then that our Father is not really concerned where we pray, or impressed by our manner of worship, or the eloquent words that we say. He is only concerned with our feelings, and he looks deep into our hearts, and hears the cry of our soul's deep need that no words could ever impart. So it isn't the prayer that's expressive or the offered in some special spot. It's the sincere plea of a sinner, and God can tell whether or not we honestly seek his forgiveness and earnestly mean what we say. And then only God answers the prayers that we fervently pray.